Hey, how are you, Mick?
Good, good, good. How you doing, Bear?
I'm doing good now that we've got our some of our technical stuff sorted out.
Isn't technology fun?
Well, mercy. Yeah, I'm glad we're here, and I'm glad everybody's joining us. Welcome to this. I mean, we weren't sure if we were actually going to get on Facebook or not. The software wasn't cooperating. It's the first time that it behaved the way it did. But we persevered, and here we are, and here you are. So thank you for joining us on Facebook and YouTube. And, yeah, we're just looking forward to another time. Larry, it's always great that you can join me in this great adventure. And, of course, Mark, if anybody thinks of Mark Jide, Mark is away in Poland. He's doing some events in Poland right now, and I'm sure he's with us in spirit, but he's with his Polish brothers and sisters right now. Now, Larry, speaking of Poland, you went to Poland?
When I first got born again, way back, I had wonderful pastors in the metropolis of Stirling, Ontario, Canada, which is, a little way down by Belleville. You know where Belleville and Trenton are because you go by it every once in a while in your ministry adventures. So, I a pastor there was a part of I can't remember how many, but we went to Poland for 10 days, and I was like a year old in the Lord. It was 1989, and I was like some starry-eyed, didn't know what to expect, didn't know what was going to go on. But, that was 89 was the same year that President Bush was there. And it was the whole tearing down the wall and everything was at the exact same time. I didn't see it, but we were in a different part of Poland. But it was a profound effect on the initial aspect of my walk. The hunger in people was absolutely nothing I had witnessed before ever. I mean, you come from a country church, you're not, you see some things of the spirit. I was just starting to get, galvanized or awakened to the things of the spirit. But in Poland, the youth were absolutely electrified with the presence and power and person of the Holy Spirit. And they're all speaking a different language. So, and I'm still trying to, on some level in my healing journey, and I'm thinking, Jesus, I hope Jesus that they're praying to the right Jesus and all that, just weird things going because they're speaking in Polish. I have no idea, but the electrification of the services and the hunger. My pastor would preach a message and then he'd say, okay, let's pray. And we were in a little wee house and they're all on these little wee chairs. They literally jumped off the chairs on their knees and just wailing for God, and I'm thinking, what is this? I've never been around any of it, but there was just such an authentic passion for God. Mm. Desperation, right? Out of their roots and everything else. But there were some significant foundational teachers, apostolic guy that was basically like a father over a lot of different churches in Poland and stuff like that. He might still be around. I don't know because I haven't connected with anybody, but it was interesting. I mean, even then there was a rumbling of the prophetic in me because what I felt, and I communicated to a couple, was like, I feel like Poland is going to be absolutely flipped upside down for Jesus. And now when I read things, it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much going on in the kingdom and the lovers of God in Poland. It's like, God, you were right. Like something is so having, Mark over there bringing in the foundation of the Father's heart and all that stuff. I mean, that what better thing could be than seeding them in Father's embrace. And so, it was life-changing for me. It sparked something in me. It ruined me for any kind of ordinary church service. And I had to, talk a lot with my pastors, like, Rick, what are we doing? It's like, Canada's dead. And he goes, well, welcome to ministry. Welcome to, you know, the anointing is so much different when we go out, especially in a kind of a missionary type of thing. So we were going to different churches and different ministry things. There was a ton of pastors at the time, leaders, that were just salting the place for those 10 days of the presence of God and the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. So it was, what a privilege. What an honor, you know, God just decides to drop me in with all these pastors and see the beginning of an igniting of passion. I mean, they're already on fire, but to be able to go in there and stoke that fire, and it was, and at the same time, because we went into this one house church, and you see going by all these tanks and all this stuff, you know, in the army and in the military aspect of it, right? And it looked like, because they're all talking about everything leaving the land, like everybody was getting out, and it's like, and the leader said, "Don't be deceived. That's not coming out. They're coming back in. They're not leaving. They're going deeper in." It's like, whoa, okay. Again, two different kingdoms operating, right? But yeah, what a privilege.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, when we talk about that hunger, right, and just the openness for people to receive just kind of more of what everything God wants for us. And, you know, Ephesians, I think 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word there is to continually be filled, right? It's that continual hunger. Not that we're orphans begging for bread, but we are, there is a pipeline to heaven where the Holy Spirit is continually pouring out. And I know for me, and I'm sure it's the same for you, that, but when I have been in meetings where you're just with a bunch of hungry people, like spiritually over, it's like, it's almost like there's this vacuum, you know, hose that's stuck to my belly, and it just something, and they're drawing out of me whatever's there. And it's like, sometimes in those meetings, it's like, you know, my mouth can't keep up with what is flowing, you know, in the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, and of course, that's what we just want to continue to just to unpack is just like, what does it mean to flow in the Spirit and to keep that, you know, that deluge of the outpouring. And of course, you know, you yourself were eyewitnesses to this in Toronto, right? I mean, talking about having hungry hearts, you know, millions of people from around the world, you know, were
just coming.
And when you were on those prayer lines, Larry, that must have been an amazing experience for you.
Yeah, again, the honor of God, the favor of God to be a part of something that was changing the nations, and to see, you know, again, little country pumpkin from Nowhereville allowed to come in and be on the ministry team, the prophetic team or whatever, and be able to serve these people that are hungry for Jesus. And they just kept coming and coming and coming, like, and I couldn't get enough of what he was, you know, what he was dealing out, what he was teaching us how to abide in that glory. What's it mean to live in the abiding glory? Like for me, and, you know, and not to, but once you've been kissed by that that realm of abiding glory, we go into the meeting. Nobody was singing. No mechanism trying to keep the glory there or whatever. As soon as we'd go in to the meeting that was empty, because we were a ministry team, we were getting there to go and pray, and he's still here. Oh my goodness, he's still here. The tangible abiding presence of the Father, the Spirit, and it's like just beginning to know who is this God that wants to spend time with us. And just and the people, the hunger in the people probably facilitated him staying, because he knew, he must have known who was coming, what they needed, and he just was present there for so long to just meet them, meet all of us. You know, it was kind of like, you know, what's the adage of a wounded healer, in a sense that you know, I'm getting my own prayer ministry and freedom and everything else, and everybody else is trying to get there. So you're in this wild dynamic of seeing God meet with people. You barely had to do anything. It's like, you know, we're just there. And I think the expectation of people, he met them no matter what was done, what wasn't done, what ministry team, what it wasn't the big names, because we were all kind of a faceless, nameless 300 people on that ministry team. You know, we'd take turns every night and everything else. But it wasn't about any of us superstars, because there wasn't any. It was just this regular folk that were impacted by the presence, impacted by the Spirit in their own journey of who is he, you know, pouring out to those that, you know, who is he? He is here, and I'm opening up, right? There were many times, you know, there were many times that you'd just stand on the line and just open up your heart. It's almost you got to the point where you didn't want a ministry team to come. There was so much of spirit to spirit download of just, you know, father to child, Jesus to the bride, whatever. It's like he would come in and bring vision. He would come in and bring, you know, he would manifest his presence. Holy Spirit would manifest and you know, wreck us all for good and for him. And yeah, what a privilege, what an honor. When you really look back, you know, again, 30 years ago, and be a part of that. And I'd have to say, even though it's like you're going up the mountain, and some of the paths have not been easy, and it's not a walk in the park. it's you know, Hinds Feet and Hinds Places type of book type of thing. But I have to say that I'm just as hungry, if not hungrier, than I was in 94.
Wow.
Because of the pressures, because of the trials, because of the fires that we've all walked through, the different fires all of us are going through, it's like, I still need you. I still, like you said, not as an orphan, but I know there's more yet of him to be revealed. Mm-hmm. There has to be. I read too much in the scripture, and I read too much of my heroes like John G. Lake or Kuhlman or Wigglesworth or all those things. It's like, there's still yet more of him to be revealed, and keeping my heart positioned for him to occupy every aspect of who we are, what we are, and where is he going? Like we were joking earlier about getting older, and it's like, okay, well, we're still here. Yeah. You know, we haven't went off and find a different career and stuff. He's still with us, but he's manifesting different, and we're coming through what we're coming through, but we're still here, still hungering for him, still being taught how to flow in the Spirit. I don't know if we'll ever arrive. God help us if anybody thinks that they've arrived on how to flow in the Spirit, because I used to say this jokingly when I go into meetings, like, God is a moody God, in all due respect and honor and all that stuff. But I have to come in and see what kind of mood he's in. Is it tickle time with dad, or is it sitting down and having a family meeting, or like, how Father, do you want to even today meet with us, your kids from all over, wherever? You know, we can virtually be here together. And Father, Holy Spirit, how do you want to manifest, appear what you know is in the heart of the Father specifically right now? And now as always, now is so different from our now. How does the Holy Spirit write this specific eternal now want to peek through out of the ocean, out of the fullness of what they are, Father, Son, and Spirit, and embrace you, empower you, tickle you. You know, joy is a third of the kingdom. So he's permissioned in these gatherings to be whatever he wants to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this, we're just making room to the best of our finite ability as little kids, and come, Lord Jesus, come.
Yeah. And one of the things that always amazed me, and I don't know if you have any of these kind of stories that you could share, but I remember, of course, we were only an hour away in the Niagara region. So for us, it didn't cost a lot to drive down the road. And it's amazing how, you know, there would be people who, from what I understand, would be almost across the street, and they had no interest in finding out. And of course, for us, it was only an hour down the road, so it didn't cost a lot. But, you know, I just remember hearing so many stories of people selling cars, selling motorcycles, like
mortgaging
really
houses,
like sacrificially giving to be able to come and experience this indwelling. I'm sure you probably heard many of those kinds of stories.
Yeah, there's tons of stories of back in the day that people were so desperate and knew they had to be there. Some came to be, you know, to live in Canada through the move, different things. I mean, even my own desperation, I tapped into some of that. And again, I don't think it was out of an orphan. It could have been, because, but you know, as you know, I live 2 hours east of Toronto. So for a few years, I traveled back and forth, plus did an 8-hour shift, and still had this hunger. I gotta be in the presence of God. I gotta have him. I gotta have him. I gotta be there. On some level, you know, and maybe it was fear of missing out on some level, but it wasn't. There was something, I needed his presence so bad because I needed to be healed up. I needed to be, find him who makes me whole.
Mm.
And so I would go two or three times a week and did that for years until I finally grabbed a brain and I moved up. But that hunger is real, that I could see how, when that grips you, when that hunger, that's got to be supernatural. It wasn't something conjured up. It wasn't something somebody paid me to have. It wasn't, but it was something had to have been supernaturally infused for a hunger. I know there's more. I know I have to be there. I'm running after him. I'm going after him. And that wasn't to try and prove, okay, how desperate I was for God, and then he'll pick me up and then I'll be qualified. No, it was just this inner hunger that I had to be there. Mm. I have to be in the presence. And to me, what if it was the authentic, born from above DNA in me yearning for a homecoming, like Jack Winter and people say, and you say, you know, the real authentic me, spiritually resurrected in life, encountering God, knew that I had to come in and linger in the glory, linger in and find, who is this God of glory? Who is this that's sparking millions to come to this church? And like you say, but down the road, nobody even knew it was there. It's like, you know, it got the attention on the news and stuff like that, of some of the conferences and stuff like that, and the travel and everything. But by and large, and again, it shows you that you can't manipulate the masses.
Hmm.
If it was by the great design and mechanism of how to win Toronto, it wouldn't work if it wasn't God breathed. And yet look at the nations that were awakened by the Spirit back in then. They didn't have any internet. They didn't have any, they only had a phone call. Something's cooking, something's going on in Toronto. Get there. It was all by word of mouth, all by phone, all by nothing. And millions after millions after millions came there for years. And the privilege of the, you could feel the historic moment, because I would sit in the back and I'd say, look at what's happening. How sovereignly millions are coming through this building to meet with you, God, to meet, and you're drawing them. Unless they're drawn by the Spirit, they won't come. Because it wasn't because there were superstars. Most of the people at the beginning, nobody even knew their name. They weren't coming with a resume. It's like, yes, by our great power, John and Carol, none of us knew what was going on. and you just fumble into the function as, okay, I guess we're going to do this. Okay, I think he's asking us to do this. I think, you know, let's all pray for one another. Let's all pray for people. I loved the innocence and the purity and the passion of seeing how it affected all of us. Mm. How it affected. I mean, I would take carloads of people with me. I only had a little wee Cavalier, but crammed it full. Sometimes I'd borrow somebody's van or whatever, depending on the event or whatever. But we would all go away still buzzing from being in the glory. And it would, you know, 2 hours going back was just as much of an outpouring as it was in the meeting, because there's just things flying around. God showed me this. He's saying this, and scripture flying. And, you know, it was us, innocent ones being captured by love, captured by his presence that had a purpose to show us who we are by seeing him. Hmm. Who am I is only going to come by who is he.
Mm-hmm.
When I can find out inch by inch into this ocean of who he is, then I start to see I am like him. Mm. Not because of my great effort, not because of my religion, not because of my activity, but because of the grace pouring out and the glory pouring out, and beholding that glory, something morphs in us.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. Actually, you know, when we talked about that scripture in Romans 8, what you just said there, just kind of really just stirred that up in me and reminded me. And I'm just going to read just a few of the verses, because I think the Lord wants to really, really remind us, encourage us, connect us with that outpouring, that inflowing, that reminder, the wooing of the Holy Spirit just constantly wanting to fill us. And Romans 8, starting at verse 14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we share his glory, we also must share in his suffering." But I, when I was thinking about what you were saying about the Holy Spirit, like revealing who he is reveals who we are, right? So when the Holy Spirit in us bears witness with our spirit, testifies with our spirit, tells us that we are actually God's offspring, we are his children, and we are his heirs, that we look like him, we came from him, we were born of him, his sperm seed lives in us, and then the only appropriate response is to cry out, "Abba, Father, you really are my Father."
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what was happening in Toronto, right? Over and over and over again.
And the truth intention of all of that, you know, having the privilege of praying over people, there was no greater honor, really, other than my marriage. Obviously, I had to put that in there, but no greater privilege to hear testimonies afterwards that when you prayed for me, the Father encountered me.
Wow.
And I didn't have a clue. I mean, at the time, I was so geared toward the prophetic, geared toward, you know, the presence in the prophetic, I had no clue other than, you know, the tons and tons and tons of testimonies of people being encountered by the Father's heart from Toronto. That was predominantly what it was about, even though it had other streams of thought about it. Ultimately, because of John and Carol, they carried a mantle from Jack Winter and different ones from before the move of the foundation of the Father heart. Well, that filtered in and poured into, and then we had to kind of maneuver through that encounter. And I can remember a friend in England back in the day, because I used to be one of the leaders in the intercession stuff. They would have daily intercession and stuff. Well, I kind of hijacked it a bit and just wanted to get everybody totally whacked. And I would say there's just impartation for, you know, to be a prayer warrior, whatever, right? Because mm-hmm. I just needed the presence of God flooding any service. That's what I was all about. That's what I still am about, just yeah. different. But so apparently, and again, I didn't find this out until years later. And one time when I was in the UK, he said, you know, you were doing, you're leading intercession one time over in the fire hall. And you were doing your thing, praying for people and just stirring everything up, letting God stir it all up. He said, but I got so catapulted over into the corner with God that I had a visitation with the Father.
Wow.
And he had a massive transformational encounter, him, spirit to spirit, Father to Son, which involved later him turning into his own kind of father heart ministry over in the UK of his own stuff, him and his wife. And it's like, wow, God. And again, it had zero to do with me. I didn't prophesy over him. I didn't give him a 3-point plan. I had zero clue that the Spirit of the Lord was doing something in somebody I didn't even know at the time.
Hmm.
But that's the glory. That's the bigness of Dad's glory. I remember one person saying, we know how to work the anointing. We can do the gifts. We can prophesy. We can do all that. But when the anointing turns into the glory, the glory is the Father coming in and doing what he wants to do. And many times we are oblivious because it's not by gift. Then it's the glory that comes in. It's the Father. It's the Trinity coming in and manifesting and embracing and doing what they know needs to be done in that heart, in that soul, or in that corporate body. I mean, I can remember one time in Stratford when I first started out ministering and the realms were starting to open up, and I just learned how to, you know, function in the realms. And I'm ministering, I'm trying to preach up a good sermon, and then all of a sudden I get this nudge in my spirit up here somewhere, and it's like, just this check, wait. And so I step back, stop talking, and this glory came in. And literally there are a couple hundred people, and they were all caught up into this massive, still, majestic presence that all I could do was whisper. Wow. Because I didn't want to step on it. I didn't want to get bombastic. It was, again, trying to discern the mood of how the Trinity wants to come in and just be a facilitator of, and that's flowing in the Spirit. How do you facilitate the Spirit? Do you let him lead, or do we come with a prescribed thing? Nothing wrong with preparation and, you know, teachers do what they do and everything else. But making room, Holy Spirit, what do you want to show up as with this group of people or with this person when we're coaching or whatever, so that hopefully there's big enough room for the Spirit of God to breathe.
Wow.
And I'm still learning, and it's been, 31 years, how to be a facilitator. Holy Spirit, I sense your presence even now. How are you revealing your glory in each person's heart, home, marriage, whatever? And help me to know when I need to be quiet or say something to help their hearts sink deeper into the ocean of the glory. So it's a delicate balance. And it's, I love when it's bombastic, and I love being a warrior, but then there's times when you just have to be walking amongst the feather aspect of the glory and And even, you know, years ago when we would do our online gatherings, there would be such a majestic stillness that would come in. It's like, I know I'm supposed to be leading this meeting, but if I don't want him to leave.
Mm.
I don't want to get in his way, because that stillness is doing something. He's doing something with the people, with the meeting.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I like hearing, I think, Bill Johnson talking about when the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, right? And so it was like, yeah, when Jesus lived, it was almost like a dove was sitting, yeah, on his shoulder, right? And to live with that kind of sensitivity,
yeah,
to the Spirit, yeah, and whatever. Like, I puts a smile on my face every time I hear you say tickle time with Dad. And I've heard you say it many times, and it is such, it's a wonderful description for me.
Well, yeah, because I need, because, you know, as you know, most people don't know me, but they're probably here, some do, but I love how he would manifest as, you know, the holy laughter. I mean, yeah, he would just absolutely blast so many of us. It wasn't just me. There was so many of us that would just be caught up in this manifestation of, mm-hmm, the Spirit. You know, and I've prayed for years and years and years, God, if this isn't you, because I don't want to do anything that would bring him reproach. I don't want to just run after something for the sensation of it. But God, if this holy laughter is facilitating a knowing deeper of you,
yeah,
and then, you know, you see scriptures, you know, he brings the bride into the wine cellar, Song of, yeah, Songs. So that wine cellar is a literal spirit realm where we either drop into, fall into, or he pulls us into. And that holy laughter, I can't tell you the level of liberty, the true liberation of the soul, the true liberation of teaching me to overcome the fear of man. You know, when I met Bob Jones back in the early years, Dennis Wiedrich brought me to Yakima, Washington. And I was like I was in awe of Bob, you know, being a prophetic person, and he's a papa in the prophetic big time. And the first thing he said to me, he looked at me with these great big blue, gloriously love of the Father eyes. He goes, "Do not let the fear of man stop you." Whoa, okay. I wonder what, and I'm still learning how to unpack that after all that, you know, decades later. But I think the way the Holy Spirit had that be imparted through the years was just get me drunk, just get me absolutely inebriated in the holy laughter, and, you know, drunk, you know, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So sometimes, and I would reference it as tickle time with Dad. I would just be absolutely just, it would be like you were getting tickled from the inside out. You just could not, you would laugh at the silliest things. And then when it would leave, or, you know, that manifestation would leave, you think of some of the crazy things that you laughed about. It's like, that's not even funny. But when you're in the Spirit, when your spirit is overflowing in that wine, everything's funny. Yeah. Everything is. I remember one time in Toronto, because we used to go to Tim Hortons, the famous tradition, go to Tim Hortons after the meeting on the way home. I can remember going to Subway down by Toronto, down by the meeting, and a Muslim man came out of Subway. And I was absolutely inebriated. I was so, I was out of it. You know, I was beside myself. And so I all of a sudden felt love for this guy. Mm-hmm. And I gave him a hug. And he's just, no, what is this white guy doing with me, right? Whatever. But I'm just so much inebriation with the love and the wine of Jesus. I hugged him, and he goes, "What is this? what am I feeling? What is this energy I'm feeling type of thing, right? And then it opened up a door. I started telling them about Jesus, telling them about the Holy Spirit, telling them about the outpouring just down the road and everything else. The next day, because that was a Saturday night, the next day I drove all the way back. He came in the meeting on Sunday night.
Wow.
And I can't fully remember, you know, my memory's a little bit sketchy, but I think he came and gave his life to Jesus. But that was because of presence. It wasn't because I gave him a track. It was because I dripped all over him the inebriation of God's love. Because that's what was bubbling out of me. I wouldn't have an intellectual, how do you win this person to Jesus? It's like, well, the Holy Spirit knows. And he's going to use this crazy Canuck to, you know, drip all over him and make him curious.
Yeah. Well, how about we spend a little bit of time going to that place? Anybody up for it, watching live or afterwards? Let's dive deep. I'm just going to put the Jacqueline's music on.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we'll get going here. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, we honor your glory. We honor who you are. You're so faithful, so rich, so glorious. We welcome you to do what you know you want to do with every single heart, home, marriage, situation, trial, whatever. Lord, I'm asking that as we've been reminiscing of your river of delight, thank you that it's always now.
Papa.
That it's always now, that river of delight, beautiful Spirit of the living God. Mm-hmm. It's always now, and it's always accessible. You're always ready for us to drink of you. Lord, we thank you for Toronto. I thank you for the outpouring, and I thank you for the introduction to the ocean of what you are as love, as what you are as the prophet, as the apostle, as all that stuff that we learned in different things in the healer, the inner healer. But most of all, I am so woo.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that you are still embracing. I just see a wave flowing. So I acknowledge the wave of this river of Dad's delight in you and for you. Lord, I bless the outpouring of your wave over every heart, over every everyone. Thank you for your presence, God.
Ah, Father, thank you that it's your great joy to give your kingdom to your little flock.
Praise you.
We don't have to twist your arm. We don't have to be lovable. We don't have to prove anything to you. It is part of our birthright as being your sons and daughters.
Thank you.
And you have committed all of the resources of heaven, Father, to bear witness with our spirits that we are your children. We came from you. We were born of you. We look like you. We carry within our DNA the very essence of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whoa.
Wow.
And so, Father, we just ask for a fresh infilling of your Spirit. Continually flowing into us and through us and around us. As Jesus, you said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water.
That endless flow of the river of the Spirit manifesting Christ to heal, to deliver, to bring joy, to manifest as you desire to manifest.
Yeah.
Lord, you know the heart cry of every person, yeah. of every family member, of everything. Lord, we welcome the gates inside us to fling wide.
Mm-hmm.
That the outpouring of a million Niagaras,
yeah.
of your presence, of your love, of your embrace, of your healing glory, of who you are as healer, who you are as father, who you are as bridegroom king, Jesus, Father, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, we thank you in expectation of you hugging your kids, expectation that you are ministering to your people, not because of Barry and Larry, but because of your great loving kindness, your great commitment to manifest, your great commitment to appear to them that are hungry. Lord, you said you shall fill the hungry. Lord, I bless an impartation of that supernatural hunger that I witnessed, that we all witnessed so many times in so many different meetings. We welcome that glory of hunger that presses us into that wine cellar. That hunger would press us into the majesty of God our Father, press us into the Spirit of the Lord that is upon us to heal, to deliver, to unlock the prison doors and say, come out wherever you are. The Father is safe. Jesus is a good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He's not calling you into a religious ritual. He's calling you into the family of love himself. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, I bless you in what you're imparting, what you're revealing, what you're healing. That a tree of life is the desire fulfilled. So those that are desiring to be healed, Lord, plant the tree of life, desire fulfilled, mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
However you can unveil yourself, come on in.
Yeah.
Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
You are the anointed one that knows all things, that mm-hmm. what they need.
Well, yes, Dad.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we drink of you.
Mm-hmm.
Take a deep breath. Sometimes it's why I so I was trained, like, take a deep breath from the diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
Pulls you into that realm of your spirit where the Holy Spirit is one with. Just breathe deep.
Wow.
Takes us past the soul
mm-hmm.
into the dimension of spirit.
Yeah.
Communing with spirit. Receiving the gift of whatever the Holy Spirit knows, wants to give you for the journey ahead, for that answer for a job, for that answer for the whatever,
mm-hmm.
whatsoever you desire when you pray. Come on in to the treasure house of the fullness mm-hmm. of the Anointed One in you.
Yes, Dad.
Big drink, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I'm just going to read Ephesians 3 again, because this is what I believe the Father wants to do for each one of us. For even right now, this is His will for us in Christ Jesus our Lord, that we might be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Paul prays, he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, Dad.
What a prayer. What a What a prayer to marinate in, meditate in, ponder, and just soak in it. It's like that's the intent of the Trinity, that we would be overflowing in his fullness, that we'd be rooted in his love, grounded in his love. That's who he is.
Yeah.
It's like, Lord, yes and amen. Do it again.
Yeah.
And again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Out of your nowness. Fill your kids afresh, Dad. Thank you, Abba.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord. Wow. There's no safer place than to find that secret place, that refuge, which is his presence. His presence is everything. His presence manifests the fullness of what he is as a high tower, what he is as a refuge, what he is as a loving, good father, a loving, good shepherd that's leading, guiding. It's his presence. Moses said, unless your presence goes before me, don't send me. It's all about being people of the presence, of the manifest, knowing his nearness. Father, give each one keys how to unlock their hearts even deeper, even greater, so that they can know your presence deeper. The personal, living presence of you. And I bless the angels that I feel and see, sense to go out and bring the gifts, that which is needed for them to go deeper. Feels like that some of the angels are warring on behalf of the promise of the Father for you, the promises for you. Lord, I bless the angels, Father. Would you release them and empower them and empower your people to have hope afresh and come out of any realm of hope deferred, disappointment from anything that people have done. We release them all. They owe me nothing. So that we can be like our dad in heaven. We forgive. We sow mercy to those that oppose. We bless those that oppose with the greatest gift of all, Jesus the Son, by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Let us know in the chat if you feel to share anything he's shown you, anything you might have felt, been given, any gift, any promise, any encouragement that he's pouring out, if you feel to. No odds or shoulds, but... So good to be with you, Bear. It's really good.
Oh, man. Larry, it's always rich, you know, when we... I think it's still amazing, you know, when we start these times together, it goes...
Where are we going? Let the river flow.
Oh, yeah. When you just said that, I just picture us on inner tubes, you know, tire inner tubes just going down the river, wherever the current leads, we're good to go, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Because we've got a history with him that we can trust him. He doesn't lead us to embarrass us. He doesn't do stuff that's going to humiliate. And because we've worked so much together, we trust one another. We know how to maneuver the tube together.
Absolutely. It actually is great news because it takes all the pressure off.
Yeah.
You know, we've never been called to have to figure it out.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it's good news. Thanks. You know, being led by the Spirit is not leading ourselves. There's freedom in that.
Yeah. Huge.
Wow.
If we can let go of our understanding, if we can let go, as a friend said the other day, it's like, that's a good reminder. I'm not called to figure it out. I'm not called to understand it all. I'm called to trust in the person of the Spirit that's leading me, leading us into that reality of theirs, which is love.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and thank you, Larry, as always, my brother. And can you just tell people again, if they're hearing you for the first time, where they can connect with you and Jacqueline?
Yeah, it's lionswordsolutions.ca or theflow.rocks. That takes you to all of our social connections and all that stuff. You know, it's on YouTube also. But yeah, Lionsword Solutions or theflow.rocks will get you to connect with us and see what we're about. You know, coaching, mentoring, teaching everybody how to drink.
I just see how Mike, our dear friend Mike Hammond from the UK, says a wonderful quote, "More Lord." And, you know, and of course, that was one of the most simplest prayers of Toronto, right? It's just "More Lord." And I'll just teach everybody how to say something similar in Finnish. It's Lisa Isa. So Larry, Lisa, can you see? Isa. Yeah, it means
Lisa,
more.
Isa.
Yeah, more. Lisa is more, and Isa is father. So more father.
Oh, wow. Lisa, I love that.
Lisa Isa. It's very easy for me to remember. So now you all know how to speak Finnish. So
we have Finnish.
And we have some Finnish friends on the live stream. So bless you guys.
Wow, beautiful.
So thank you so much. And the video will be available shortly. That can be watched again at Larry and Jacqueline's websites, theflow.rocks and lionswordsolutions.ca. And they have a bunch of other places.
Father
and, of course,
Heart
all
TV.
Kinds of Father Heart TV in different places. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. And just as a reminder, because Mark told me to do this, next week is in North America, it is daylight savings time. So we are switching our clocks on Sunday, but Europe is not switching for 3 weeks. So for Europe and beyond, don't worry about it. It's the same time for you. But for those of us in North America, instead of being 3 p.m., it will be 4 p.m. for the next 3 weeks. So anyway, and Mark will be back next week. So bless everybody. Thank you so much. And again, Larry, thanks. Thanks for Jacqueline's music. It's that anointed music is in the background. So bless you guys all, and we'll see you next time.